Good morning, everyone. I want to thank each of you for tuning in with us here today. My name is Eric Hicks. I am the minister for the Hiawatha Church of Christ and the Sabetha Church of Christ. At the Church of Christ, our goal is simply to be New Testament Christians. The way we accomplish that is by speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent. If that is something that you have been searching for, we invite you to come and join us for worship service. In Hiawatha, we are located at 3rd and Osage. We begin on Sunday morning at 8:30 for Bible study, 9:30 for worship service, and then on Tuesday evening, beginning at 6:30, we have our midweek Bible study. In Sabetha, we are located at 3rd and Oregon. We begin on Sunday morning at 10:15 for Bible study, 11:15 for worship service. At 5 o'clock, we have our evening worship service, and then on Wednesday evening, beginning at 7, we have our midweek Bible study. If you're in our area, we would certainly love to have you come and join us for worship service and let us be New Testament Christians together. Over the last few weeks, we've began a study on spiritual obstacles that we should and must overcome. We've talked about unforgiveness, how we can be a more loving and forgiving people before God, as He certainly requires us to do so. We also talked about envy. Envy is defined in the Word of God as rottenness to the bones, and it's something that can tear us up on the inside. And so when we think about unforgiveness and we think about envy, those are two things that can cause us great problems in our spirituality and our spiritual walk with God. And so this morning, we're going to continue by looking at yet another one, and that is ingratitude. And certainly when we go back and we look at the people of God that were oftentimes ungrateful for the things that He had done, God certainly was not pleased. And so it is always good to approach God with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts and to make sure that we are thankful for the many things that God has done for us, for all of the blessings He richly bestows upon us each and every day. We remember such great examples as in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Daniel knew a decree had been signed against him that he was not to pray to any other god except the king. And of course, in Daniel 6 and verse 10, that's exactly what he does. He opens his windows toward Jerusalem and he prays three times that day, as was his custom. And in that verse, it also tells us that his prayer included thanksgiving before his God. And so we think about that great example. Daniel certainly was not afraid to pray unto God, regardless whether it was popular or whether it was not. And in that prayer, Daniel was thankful unto him for all of the things he does. We remember in John chapter 11 and verse 41, before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, one of the things that Jesus expresses to God the Father is thankfulness. Thankfulness that He is heard by Him. And He says that not for His own sake, but for those who are around, that they might believe that God the Father sent Jesus into this world. But Jesus expressed great thankfulness there in the very beginning. And so today, we're going to be looking at how do we become more and more thankful before God for the great things He has done for us. I want to suggest three different things that we can do. The first of these is to remember the blessings that God has so richly bestowed upon us. We remember a story in Luke chapter 17. The story there takes place of 10 lepers that are beseeching Jesus for mercy. And notice what it says here. Let's begin in Luke 17, beginning in verse 11, and we'll go through verse number 19. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said to him, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well.' What an example the Samaritan certainly gives as we think about what he did. He saw that he was cleansed of his leprosy as Jesus told him to go and show yourself to the priest. And on the route, he realized he was cleansed and he immediately had that reaction to come and to give thanks and glory unto God for the good things that was shown to him. The other nine, they just did not have that same mindset of returning to give thanks unto God for the things and the blessings that they had received. It shows us the great example of remembering the great things that God does for us on a regular and consistent basis. When we think about our blessings that we receive, in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, Paul tells us that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing that we have and that we enjoy, whether we're talking about the avenue of prayer, whether we're talking about the grace and the mercy that we have received from God, the hope of eternal salvation that is found in Him, the gift of His holy word that we might read and study and know His blessed will, that we're not guessing as to what we must do in order to be saved and right with Him, but we can read and study and know the things that God would have for us. Those are blessings that we enjoy, and those are just a few of the great blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are found in Him. As Christians, we certainly would have and do have much to be thankful for before our God. A second aspect, not just remembering the blessings, but also remembering to express our gratitude before God. Notice how David does this in Psalms chapter 107, beginning in verse 1. He writes, He says, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And so one of the things that David does, he expresses his thanksgiving unto God for His goodness, for His mercy, for His redemption and deliverance out of the hand of the enemies. And so we think about those things. There are many great reasons that David had to rejoice in the Lord and to be thankful before Him. And certainly David went before God often, thanking Him for the great blessings that he had received. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, we're going to look at 6 and 7 of Philippians 4. Paul writes this concerning our anxiety, but also thankfulness. Thankfulness will destroy anxiety, and as we'll see from this passage. Paul here writes, He says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so there's that anxious spirit. We all have things that we can be anxious about. There's all kinds of things that can plague our minds and really can cause us to shake inwardly as we think about these things. And yet Paul says to be anxious for nothing. And you know what? Sometimes that's a hard thing to do. We think about all of the stress that sometimes life brings against us, and we think about being anxious for nothing. How do we do it? Well, Paul tells us how we do it. He doesn't just say be anxious for nothing, but he says this, that in everything that we do, approach it by prayer and supplication, and with that thanksgiving in our hearts, let our requests be made known unto God. When we are thankful before God, it causes us, again, as we mentioned in the first point, to go back and to think about all of the blessings that God has already richly bestowed upon us. And there's quite a number of them if we stop and think about it. We mentioned some of the spiritual blessings that we have. We could also talk about the physical blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And when we're approaching God with thankfulness in our hearts, it reminds us of all of the great things that God certainly has done for us. And as we think about those things, with that thankful spirit going before God in prayer, it reminds us of the things He has done, and it gives us that faith, that confidence to let our requests be made known unto Him, knowing that He hears our prayer, and certainly He does indeed answer. And Paul tells us the result of that is that the peace of God, and the peace of God, it surpasses all understanding. It guards our hearts, it guards our minds through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thankfulness can help us as we face various obstacles, and we're going to face various obstacles in life. And as we approach those things, it helps us to remember all of the things that God has already brought us through. Another one that we want to consider as a reason for being thankful before our God is that we focus on the things that truly matter. A lot of times the reason why we're sometimes ungrateful is because of the things that we don't have. We focus on those things instead of the blessings that we do. And so we focus on what truly matters. You remember in Luke chapter 12, we had a couple that came before Christ, a couple of brothers. One of them said to him, in verse 13 of chapter 12, he said to the Lord, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And then he said to them, "Take heed and be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." And then he spoke a parable to them. He said this, he said that the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" And so he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all of my crops and my goods, and there I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be of which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And so Jesus tells us not to focus on the earthly things as we so commonly want to do. Jesus said that a man's life does not consist of the things he possesses, not in the abundance of what we possess. As this rich man in the parable so thought. And he thought, "Yeah, I'm going to tear down my barns, I'll build bigger barns." And he was focused on those particular things. And yet, he was rich in the flesh, yes, but not before God. And so the great focus that we have is not on the physical things, not on the things that sometimes we don't have or things that we are striving for, but rather it's the spiritual things of God that really makes the difference. Another great example that really shows this is the example of old Solomon. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, was trying to find fulfillment in life, and he went at it with everything that he had, using all of his wisdom, all of his resources, to try to find out what does make a man full, make him complete. And notice what he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. He says, "So I became great and excelled more than all who were with me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the reward from all my labor. Then I looked in all the works that my hands had done, and the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed it was all vanity, and a grasping for the wind, and there was no profit under the sun." And so Solomon is looking at all of these things that he had possessed, and his possessions were truly great and magnificent in this world. In fact, we remember when the Queen of Sheba came and observed all that he had. She thought that people were exaggerating about the wealth of King Solomon's kingdom. And yet when she observed it, she said they left out a bunch of things. You know, they didn't even tell me half of all of the splendor that is in the kingdom of Solomon. And so she was super impressed with the kingdom and all of the wealth that Solomon had. But when Solomon looked at it, he said, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It's a chasing or a grasping for the wind." And so he's still trying to figure out, what is man's all? What fulfills man? And we remember at the very end, he said in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." And so Solomon said the whole duty of man, it was not so much to grow and acquire and to go for all of the pleasure and gusto, as we would say, that a person can acquire. But rather, he said, the conclusion of the whole matter, as he has brought this experiment to a conclusion. He said, it is to fear God, keep His commandments. This is man's all. As we consider the words of Solomon, we understand that Solomon isn't saying there's anything wrong in and of themselves of materialistic things, but we want to make sure that we possess them and they do not possess us. It's too easy for money and wealth and things like that to become our God rather than the one true living God. And so again, focusing upon the things that truly matter is to focus upon the Almighty, the great things that He does for us each and every day, the grace, the mercy, and the blessings that we find in Christ Jesus, and the hope of our life everlasting with Him. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul also addressed really what is great gain to us. In 1 Timothy 6, and we'll begin in verse number 6, and go through verse 10. Paul wrote this, he says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And so Paul is wanting not just Timothy, but really all of his readers, including you and I, to avoid this sorrow that many people fall into. And the idea that he says that godliness with contentment, that's what great gain is. And not that there's anything wrong in and of itself with having nice things. That's not what he's saying. But when that becomes our focus and to the point that we lose sight of God, again, then the wealth and the money and the love of money becomes problematic for us spiritually. Again, what helps us the most is whenever we have godliness with that contentment, great gain. And we keep in mind, as Paul also said, we certainly brought nothing into this world, and it is also certain we're not going to take anything out of it. And so keeping the main focus in mind, focusing on what truly matters, and that is indeed the things of God. In Hebrews 13, the Hebrew writer also said, in verse number 5, he said, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so one of the things that we must bear in mind is not having covetousness of any kind. That is, that desire for what someone else has, and to the point that I want it and I wish that they didn't have it, but I wished it belonged to me. And when our hearts is filled with that, again, all kinds of evil results from it. And so the Hebrew writer tells us to have our conduct without covetousness and to be content with what we have, the blessings that we receive from God each and every day. And one of the great blessings the Hebrew writer mentions is that God has made us that promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. I like the words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul felt abandoned. Matter of fact, he was abandoned by many. But I want you to notice what he says about that. He says, at my first defense, in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 4, he says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. And then note verse 17. He says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be fully preached through me and that the Gentiles might also hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And so Paul is remembering that great blessing that comes only from God, that even though the rest of the world can turn against us, God never will. And that is one of the great blessings that we have. Truly, we have many great reasons to be thankful. All spiritual blessings are found in Christ, and we are richly blessed with His abiding presence and with the salvation that's only through Him. Would you like to know more about God and His holy will for you? I want to invite you to log on to the website, HiawathaCoc.com. That is HiawathaCoc.com. There you'll find some information about the Bible, about the church. You'll be able to submit a Bible question or make a comment about today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. And again, I want to thank you for tuning in with us here today. May God bless each of you, and have a great day.